And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we glorify you, we magnify you. We give you praise, glory, and honor for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, God, for this privilege and opportunity you've given us to be here this morning. Lord, we ask that you remove any hindrance and stumbling block from this place, God, that your word may come forth freely, that it may touch and bless and minister to every heart, soul, and mind here within the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask that you encamp your angels around these buildings. God, that you speak to our hearts, anoint the lips of clay. And Lord God, we will always give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, look at them firmly in the eye, shake their hand, and ask them this. Is the miracle living with the mistake? Is the miracle living with the mistake? You're going to find out in a minute. History books are a parade of great people planning, inventing, and dictating what the world is going to be like for the rest of us. Some of them have been good, and some of them have been evil. But some way or another, they all have made history. And then we have those historical moments in history that were influenced by something unexpected and something surprising. In fact, there are some important chapters in our history that would have never been written if not for a blunder or for a mistake. There are certain things in our history books that have affected mankind that occurred because of a blunder, that occurred because of a mistake. Take the Titanic, for example. To this day, historians are still debating why the Titanic sank. One prominent theory of why the Titanic sank is that the guy who was in charge of watching for icebergs, his name was Fred Fleet, did not have access to a pair of binoculars. And the reason this theory has validity is because Fred Fleet was one of the few crew members that survived. He actually survived. And when he testified to a Senate inquiry, he revealed that he was the first to spot the iceberg. But he said that if he had had access to binoculars, he might have seen it sooner and made the call earlier to avoid it. And here's the irony. There was binoculars on the Titanic. There was binoculars on the ship. But they were locked up. And the key to the locker that had all the binoculars did not make the trip. And the reason the key to the locker was left behind was because right before the Titanic sailed, right as they were about to lift the ramp from people who were coming in, just before they sailed, the company that ran the cruise made a split-second decision to replace the ship's second officer. The second officer was David Blair, and he was replaced at the last minute with another guy named Charles Lightoller. So David Blair was literally left behind on the dock, waving the Titanic away. And he neglected to realize that the locker key was still in his pocket. In fact, The key remained a souvenir in the family to remember the cruise he narrowly missed. And nobody saw that key again until it came up for auction in 2014. Meanwhile, back in 1912, the crew aboard the fateful ship soon realized that they couldn't get into the locker, but opted not to turn around for the sake of a cheap pair of binoculars. They said, it's not worth it to turn the ship around to just go get a key for some stupid binoculars. After all, the lookout crew had perfectly good set of eyes, and the Titanic was, after all, unsinkable. Nevertheless, this significant oversight appears to be one of the key factors for one of the most tragic events in human history. If the watchman would have just had binoculars, he would have been able to see the iceberg, and they would have been able to avoid it. They would have had time enough to avoid it. But because of that little key, the Titanic sank. Well, the same holds true with our scripture reading today. In Genesis chapter 21, the Bible reveals that 25 years after God had told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child, 25 years after, the Bible says in verse 2 that Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. Sarah had just had a son whom she called Isaac. And Sarah had the son 13 years after Hagar had had a son with Abraham, and his name was Ishmael. Now, according to our scripture reading, Abraham was raising both boys in the same house. Because verse 9 says that, if you put up verse 9, it says that Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Isaac and Ishmael are growing up together in the same home. And Sarah sees Ishmael, the 13-year-old, mocking his little brother Isaac. How do I know that? How do you know that, Pastor? Well, because verse 8, the previous verse, says that the child grew and was weaned. So Abraham makes this great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. During this great feast is when Ishmael begins to mock Isaac. And this takes place and this happens because Abraham had allowed Ishmael and Isaac to be raised together in the same home. This takes place because Abraham had allowed right and wrong to grow up together in the same house. This happened because Abraham had allowed the miracle and the mistake to grow up together in the same home. Because Ishmael was a mistake and Isaac was a miracle. And Abraham had allowed the mistake and the miracle to grow up together in the same place. And this insignificant error in judgment Abraham made 13 years, hallelujah, prior, is now coming back to haunt him, because verse 10 says that Sarah said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. And in verse 11, the Bible says that this was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Hallelujah. This hurt Abraham. Hallelujah. Abraham felt really bad because, after all, Ishmael was still his son. He was still his own flesh and blood. And now his wife is demanding that he get rid not only, hallelujah, of Ishmael's mother, but of Ishmael himself. It would have not been maybe so bad if Sarah would have said, get rid of Sarah, of Hagar. But Sarah says, get rid of Hagar and get rid of Ishmael. Ishmael. And Ishmael was part of Abraham's loins. He was his flesh and blood, whether it was a mistake or not. And the Bible says that it grieved him, hallelujah, tremendously. Hallelujah. Because she tells him, get rid of your son whom you've already raised for 13 years, whom you've taught how to fish and how to play and how to be a young man. And the insignificant mistake from the past had come back to haunt him, hallelujah, and his life. Somebody say amen. So the question arises, why? Why now, Lord? Why is this coming back to haunt me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why is this now, after 15 years, after 20 years? This is something that happened when I was in high school. Why is it now coming back to haunt me? Because you've allowed right and wrong to live together in the same home. You see, by raising both boys in the same home, Abraham had allowed, like I said, right and wrong, miracle and mistake, to dwell together. And he did this because he didn't want to face the responsibility of repairing the wrong and fixing the mistake. It is always easier to just ignore it. See if it goes away. Out of sight, out of mind. Well, you know, this happened a long time ago. Just forget about it. Hallelujah. That happened 30 years ago. Well, if it's coming back to haunt you, hallelujah, it apparently has not been forgotten. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And God's promises of eternal inheritance was for Isaac only. Hallelujah. And it was not for Ishmael. And as long as Ishmael was around, hallelujah, as long as Ishmael continued to live in Abraham's home, and as long as Ishmael was a part of Abraham's family, hallelujah, the inheritance that belonged to Isaac, hallelujah, was also going to be partaken by Ishmael. Somebody say amen. So Abraham should have never had, first of all, a child with Hagar. Hallelujah. But after he did, he should have gotten rid of her and her son. Hallelujah. That way in the future, there would be no conflict. And it sounds bad and it sounds ugly. Hallelujah. But there was a time when God told Saul, hallelujah, to kill this king and his wife and his children and everything that this king owned after they were defeated. And the Bible says that Saul defeated this king and he killed all the armies and the soldiers, but he spared his wife and he spared the children, just the wife, hallelujah, and he spared the children. And God had told him to kill everybody, including the children, hallelujah. And Saul did not do that. And Saul came back with the queen and he came back with the children and he came back with all of the possessions, hallelujah, that this king had. And when the prophet Samuel saw what he had done, he goes and he tells Saul, why did you do that? Why did you not, hallelujah, do what God told you to do? And he says, oh, I just brought all these possessions because I'm going to offer, I offer them to God as a sacrifice and as worship. And that's when Samuel says to obey is better than sacrifice because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And what happens after that story is that queen escapes, hallelujah, Saul's prison. She escapes, hallelujah. And she goes and she continues to have children. 400 years later, her descendants, hallelujah, she had a descendant and his name was Haman. And Haman, 400 years later, became, hallelujah, a part of the king's court. And he actually convinced the king, hallelujah, that if the people would not worship, hallelujah, whatever decree he passed, that they were going to be killed. And there was a decree that the Jews could not, partake of. And because of Haman, hallelujah, the Jewish nation, the whole nation, almost got annihilated, almost got killed, almost got destroyed. And all because Saul would not kill one woman. And sometimes it sounds horrible and it doesn't sound fair what God tells us to do. But we are short-sighted and God is not. And God can see into the future and he can see what our mistakes can do. And he can see what our wrongs can do. Somebody say amen. And God had told, hallelujah, Abraham 25 years before, hallelujah, you just wait for my promise. You just wait for my miracle. I'm going to give you a son. And right in the middle of that promise, he decided to help God out, and he made a mistake, and he bare a son, and his name was Ishmael. And rather than getting rid of Ishmael at that time, he was irresponsible and he felt bad and he was a wimp. Hallelujah. And 13 years later, now you have the mistake mocking the miracle. Now you have the wrong mocking the right. Somebody say amen. And Abraham neglected to do what he should have done in order to avoid future mistakes and deadly results. How does that apply to you and me? Watch this. If you don't confess the errors of your way today and deal with your mistakes before the Lord, your mistakes will eventually begin to mock your miracles. In other words, if we don't deal with our failures today, your failures will continue to make fun of your successes. You know why people are tired and frustrated? You know why so many Christians are wearied and troubled? You know why you don't feel the Spirit of the Lord anymore? You don't know why you don't get those goose pimples anymore, or no chill bumps, no rushes, no twinges, no jerks, not even twinklings down your spine? You know why? Because we have allowed right and wrong to live together in our lives. Because we've allowed our miracles and our mistakes to partake together from the same table. Somebody say amen. And now all of your mistakes and all of your wrongs, hallelujah, that are still active in your life, are mocking your rights and are mocking your miracles. Hallelujah. Anytime we allow sin and righteousness to dwell together in our hearts, anytime we allow impurity and chastity to coexist together in our bodies, anytime we allow holy and unholy to operate together in our minds, anytime we allow the world and Christianity to live together in our lives, the mistakes will always come back to mock, hallelujah, our rights and our righteousness. Somebody say amen. The wrong will always come back to laugh at your rights, and the sin will always come back to condemn your miracles. See, and we don't seem to understand that. The hardest thing to do when we come to the Lord is the first thing that God is going to ask you to do. Let me say that again. The hardest thing for you and I to do in Christianity is going to be the very first thing that God is going to ask you and me to do when we come to Him. And that is to surrender everything to Him. See, now this makes a lot of sense because a lot of people want to serve God and still not get rid of the world. See, the wrong and the right. We want to have one foot in and one foot out. Come on, somebody. I don't think I'm preaching a strange doctrine right here. We want God to bless us, so we fast and pray. But then we set our eyes upon things that are not godly. We set our ears upon music and things that are not, hallelujah, righteous. Hallelujah. And on Sundays we come and we praise the Lord, hallelujah, with our lips. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then on Mondays we sing, let's get it on. Right. Am I lying, my brother? If I am, please tell me. That's right, living with wrong. And the Lord made a miracle out of your life. You're a walking miracle. Yet mistakes are still living in your life. Come on, somebody. Maybe I should have stayed in my office. It's time to cast out all the wrongs in our lives. It's time to declare and decree to every evil, to every wrong, to every mistake, to every devil, to every hex, to every curse. I have put up with you I have put up with a whole lot of stuff from you. Hallelujah. I didn't say anything about it before. I didn't say anything about Yannick's, nothing about your attacks, nothing about your assaults, nothing about your gossips. But now that God is blessing me, now that God is raising me up, I refuse to allow anything in my life to destroy my miracle. I've been praying for my promises, and I refuse to give up, hallelujah, what I've been waiting for, what I've been praying for. Somebody say amen. It's time, hallelujah, that we get all those errors, all those mistakes, all those things, hallelujah, that are besetting our lives, and we kick them out, hallelujah, so that only our promises and only our miracles and only our rights are living in our hearts and in our lives. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It's time. And we need to declare like Sarah declared. Sarah went up to Abraham and she said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son. See, she got it. She understood. She knew. Hallelujah. She remembered the promise. And God had said, your seed is going to be as the stars in the sky and as the sand in the sea. And he says, your seed is going to be blessed. Your seed is going to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Hallelujah. And Sarah comes to Abraham and says, listen, as long as Ishmael is still here, he's going to be partaker of this inheritance, whether you like it or not. As long as he still lives in this house, he's going to feed from the inheritance. He's going to live off of the inheritance. He's going to be benefiting off of the inheritance. So I need you to cast her out. Hallelujah. Because this inheritance is for my son also and only. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. What I'm trying to tell you is that all of us have made mistakes. All of us have sinned. All of us have done things that are not pleasing to God. And what the Lord sent me to tell you today is some of those things are still there. And as long as they're there, they're going to be partaking of your inheritance. Every blessing that God sends, they're going to take parts of it. Every promises that the Lord gives you, hallelujah, sin and those mistakes and those errors are going to take their part, and they're going to be feeding off of it, hallelujah. And you're never going to get the full advantage and the full fulfillment of the promises and the blessings of Almighty God until you get rid of the wrongs, until you get rid of the mistakes, until you get rid of the sins and the things that so easily do beset you. Somebody say amen. We can't allow the miracle to live with the mistake, and we can't allow the rights to live with the wrong. Hallelujah. So you either cast one out or the other one casts you out. Somebody say amen. Amen. Cast out this bondwoman and her son. You need to say, cast out this mistake, cast out this stronghold, cast out this sin and her evil and her wrong. Hallelujah. For this mistake, for this wrong, for this sin shall not be heirs with my promise, shall not be heirs with my blessing. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we don't understand that. And we get upset. Oh, there goes the pastor. He's trying to tell us how to live. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. This is the irony. We don't like for people to tell us how to live, but our life manifests misery. Our lives manifest defeat. When I was doing some research, and I put into the computer mistakes that come back to haunt us, I found several articles from professors and psychology and human behavior. And I found a particular study that caught my attention, because the study revealed, this was the title of the study. Study reveals that people don't learn from their mistakes. And they had data to prove that people don't learn from their mistakes. How many of us have always said, I've learned from my mistakes? Well, the data says otherwise. And they begin to give all kinds of reasons of why. And none of the reasons ever put the blame on the person or made the person take responsibility for their mistakes. It always put the blame on outside external things. And one of the ways that they use a study is they brought all these people that were broke. They did several things, but this is one that caught my attention.
because this one hits home with all of us. They brought all these people that were broke. And they were broke because when they surveyed them, they had made financial mistakes. They have made some really dumb mistakes with their money. And they asked them, if you were giving money again and funds again, would you make the same mistakes? And all of them said, no, we've learned from our mistakes. So they gave them all a large amount of money. And most of them went and spent it on expensive clothes and expensive stuff that really had no eternal value. And before long, they were broke again. So they said, the conclusion is people don't learn from their mistakes. Now, a lot of us can agree with that because a lot of us keep on making the same mistakes over and over and over again. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, because I've counseled with some of you about the same things over and over and over again. Amen. But this is the problem. The problem is not that people don't learn from their mistakes. The problem is that people continue to live with rights and wrongs in their lives. People continue to live with, you know, Paul said it like this, you know, there are two natures in me. One wants to do good, one wants to do bad. Well, which one wins? In the case of our nature, because you can't get rid of your nature, is the one who you feed the most. But in the case of things that we have done or things that, hallelujah, are parts of our lives, what the Lord is trying to tell us through his word is, listen, there are things in your lives. There are things in my life, the Lord is saying, hallelujah, that are wrong. There are things in your life that are not conducive, hallelujah, to Christianity. There are things in your life, hallelujah, that are causing you to fall, hallelujah. And you have those things in your life. And you also have the good things. You still go to church and you still hear the word and you still give and you still participate, hallelujah, but you have both of them living in the same place. And what you don't understand is that all of the things that I ask you to do in my word, because you do them, I automatically bless you. I automatically give you promises because they come. The Lord says, if you do this, I'm going to do this. And I'm a man of my word, God says. So you do the right things and I bless you. But at the same time, you still have the bad things over here. So they come over and they start taking over your blessing. They start eating your promises. They start eating your blessings. And you don't seem to understand, and you blame everybody else. You blame luck, Lady Luck, hallelujah. And you blame your brother and your sister, and you blame society, and you blame the place where you were born, and you blame, hallelujah, relationships, and you blame all that. And all those things are part of it, but all of those things come because right and wrong are living in the same house. Hallelujah, because mistake and miracles are still there living together. And God is telling us today, listen, hallelujah, the inheritance is for you. If you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, you have my name, you have my blood, you have my promises, and they're all for you and for nobody else. You don't need to share them. You don't need to let these things eat them away. Hallelujah, but they're eating them away because you invite them to your table. That makes sense? Makes a lot of sense. That's why I say when you come to the Lord, the hardest thing for you to do is the first thing that God is going to ask you to do. You know, young people, this time is the hardest time to... I used to say, Lord, this is the hardest time to serve the Lord. I used to say, Lord, I wish I could have served, you know, during the time of the apostles and that would have been awesome. And no, this is the hardest time to serve. You know why? Because there are more wrongs than there used to be back then. There's more things pulling at your heart. Now we understand why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And when I came to the Lord, I came with a bag full of sins and baggage and all kinds of junk and gunk. And in spite of that, God blessed me. And in spite of that, God still performed miracles in my life. But he did tell me, if you don't get rid of that junk is going to start eating your stuff. And that's why we wonder, how come my ministry and my giftings don't take off? Well, because the minute that God feeds those and they're ready to take off, the wrongs eat them up, eat them away. If you've been searching for God, if you're not saved, listen, God is, God, first of all, understand that God is accepting you with all the gunk. That's not even an issue for God. The devil tries to make it an issue. With God, it's not even an issue. You know that if you were a serial murderer and you repent, God will still take you. The devil tries to make that an, oh, but you did this. You had an abortion. You raped somebody, or you committed this crime and this crime. And the devil tries to make it like that. You come to Jesus. Jesus already knows that. There's nothing new you can tell. In fact, he saw you doing that. And he doesn't say, stop in the name of love. He doesn't say that. He says, come as you are. You know, when I came to the Lord, I wasn't even baptized yet, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. I had not repented yet and being to be baptized. I just came to an altar, hallelujah, and I felt bad for everything that I'd done. And I was bawling and crying my eyes out. I didn't even know about repentance. I wasn't repenting. I was just feeling so bad. And in that moment, I was feeling so bad that I cried to God, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in tongues. So it had nothing to do with where I was. It's nothing to do with where you've been, what you've done. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with everything you carry after God blesses you. After God saves you. Because we're going to make mistakes, but make sure that as soon as you make the mistake, you get rid of it. Don't let the mistake live with the miracle. We want to have the Holy Ghost live in our hearts while we watch pornography. Come on, somebody. So the problem was that right was dwelling with wrong and miracle was dwelling with mistake. Now watch this. The Lord takes a little further. Put up verse 10 up there. When I saw this, the Holy Ghost prompted. And he made, you know, I used to know a brother that he didn't have an arm. His arm was blown off in Vietnam. And he would tell me that sometimes he would feel an itch in his arm. There's a name for that. Phantom pain. There you go. And he wanted to scratch his arm, but there was no arm. Okay? It's called phantom pain. I say that because when the Lord showed me this, the hair that I don't have, I felt them stand up. Phantom hair. I did, man. I'm just like, whoa. I even looked in the mirror. I was thinking maybe the Lord's growing more hair in there. You know, that's my miracle. So the Lord takes me here and he says, wherefore she said, who's she? Sarah. Wherefore Sarah said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son. Man. Watch this. This is powerful. The Hebrew word for cast is the word garash, which means to drive out from a possession. Now watch this. So Sarah actually told Abraham, drive out from my son's possession this bondwoman and her son. What does this mean? Watch this. This is what the devil doesn't want you and I to understand. If you live in a house or an apartment and you're evicted, what happens when you're evicted? What do? You leave, right? Is that it? Do you leave everything behind? You take all your stuff with you, right? Cast out. The Hebrew word garash, means to drive out from a possession. So when the tenant leaves, he takes with him all his possessions. Well, the word garash or cast out means to evict with nothing. You are cast out, you are evicted, but you leave everything that belongs to you behind. See the difference? See, this is why the prophet Joel said unto the people of Israel, God is going to restore unto you the years that the cankerworm, the palmerworm, the locust has eaten. See, because we don't understand that when we have the power to cast out the wrongs and the mistakes, and when we have the power to cast out devils, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? When the Jews left Egypt, did they leave empty-handed? First of all, they didn't have anything. Did not have anything. They were slaves. But when they left with everything, with the Egyptians, gold, silver, possessions. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, what you and I need to understand is that when you get rid of the mistakes, when you get rid of the errors, when you get rid of the wrongs, hallelujah, when you cast them out, hallelujah, all the stuff that they have possessed, they have to leave behind. They have to leave it behind for you. Why? Because it's your inheritance and it's not theirs. Because it belongs to you and it doesn't belong to them. See, some of us are happy with just getting rid of it. Nah, I'm not only going to get rid of it, devil. Hallelujah. But on your way out, you're not only going to give me my stuff, but guess what? You're going to give me your stuff. Because you stole it from somebody. You stole it from somewhere and it doesn't belong to you. And now it belongs to me. Somebody says, amen. Hallelujah. When Abraham went and fought against the kings, hallelujah, Abraham was already rich, he was already wealthy, and the Bible says that when he came back, he was 5 times wealthier than what he was before. Why? Because he not only defeated the kings, but he brought back all of the riches, and he brought back all of the promises that God had told Abraham were his. Somebody say amen. And what I'm trying to tell you, hallelujah, is that if you get rid of the things that you're not supposed to have in your life, when they leave, hallelujah, they're not going to take anything with you. Right now you feel like you don't have anything. Right now you feel like you're miserable, in desperation, in depression, in anxiety, in pain. Why? Because those wrongs are eating your stuff away. That's why you feel that way. But once you cast them out, they can't take anything with them. You're going to feel the full promise and the full blessing upon your life that God has given to you for an inheritance. Oh, man, I'm feeling this way, Pastor, because of everything that is going on in my life. Yeah, the devourer is eating everything that God has given you.
It's kind of like you have such a good heart that you go and buy your lunch, but then on your way back to work, you're going to go eat your lunch, and on your way back to work, you see this transient and this transient, and you begin to give them your food. Hallelujah. Then you get to work, and there's nothing for you left, and then you're wondering, why am I still hungry? And the devil has made us believe that all the suffering that we are going through in our homes, because some homes right here, right now, some marriages right now are being just buffeted hard. And the devil has made you to believe that it's because, hallelujah, of everything that you've done in the past and you deserve it and all this and all that. No, hallelujah. And that the devil is doing to you. No, no, no. All these wrongs are eating your stuff away. That's why you feel that way. Hallelujah. All the mistakes are eating your stuff away. That's why you feel the way that you feel. That's why these attacks are feel the way they feel in your home and in your family, because you've allowed the wrongs to live alongside with the rights. Hallelujah. And what the Lord is sent me to tell you today is get rid of that stuff. All the stuff that does not please me. Well, how do I know? Well, read your Bible. Hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I will set no wicked things before mine eyes. Hallelujah. And the Lord is going to tell you what is it that you need to get rid of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. You have all these things, hallelujah, that all these hobbies, all these things that don't look bad, that in and of themselves are not bad, hallelujah, but you're allowing more of that stuff to invade the little that you have of God. How many hours does a child spend a day in school? Six times five, 30. How many hours in a week? You wouldn't say 40. No, it's not 40. 24 times 7. 468? 168. Now, if we do the math, we sleep at least, what, 8 hours? 8 times 7 is what? So we have 160? Is that what you said? Then you take away 112. What's the balance? 112 is the balance? You took away the 56 and the 30? Take the 30 off. You're left with 82 hours. Now, the world is indoctrinating your children 30 hours a week.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the doctrine that they're teaching your children has nothing to do with God. Amen. How many were left? 82? Out of those 82 hours, how many of those hours are you indoctrinating them with the things of God? Well, let's see. On Sunday, at least 3 hours. Let's be more than conservative. 3 hours. And then on Wednesday, 3 hours. That's 6 hours. Now, that's if you come on Wednesday. 76 a week? 76 are left. Yeah. So what I'm saying is this. The devil has convinced us in this generation, to just bombard our lives with things that make us feel good. But the things that are going to see you above water when problems come in your life and in your home is not the things that make you feel good. So which one are you feeding the most, the right or the wrong? And just because it's harmless, it doesn't mean that it's right. If you eat one bacon, it's harmless. If your diet is made of bacon all the time, it's going to kill you. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, at this stage in my ministry, at this stage in my pastorship, I want all of you to understand that I have one advantage. The hours. I have one advantage. Let me see here. This is the advantage that I have. I started ministering to Brother Mike before he was married. I baptized him and taught him before he was married, right? So I know a little bit about his life. Same thing with his wife. I've known her for a long, longer time. But they've been here all this time, and now they have children. And the advantage that I have is that if his son starts having problems, I at least know where some of the source is from. Does that make sense?
Yes.
See, that's my advantage. That right now I'm starting to minister to the children whose parents I ministered before. That is an advantage for me because I have some background now. Now, I'm telling you all this to say this. One thing that all of us hate, including myself, all of us hate, is for somebody else to tell us how to raise our kids. The thing is that we need to differentiate when I'm trying to tell you how to raise your kid or I'm trying to tell you what the Word says. Amen. That's your challenge. That's not my challenge. That's your challenge. Because the results of sin will always be the same. Always. The methods might be different. The way that it came about might be different, but the result is always going to be the same. Pain, destruction. And where the proverbial rubber meets the road, it's when our kids start growing up. Because everything you and I do when our kids are small will have no consequence when they're small. But it will once they start experiencing life. That's when we begin to say, listen, all these wrongs I should have gotten rid of. But now it's too late. You can still get rid of them, but the damage is already done. I have heard Christians say, well, one way we're going to learn is through experience. But that's not biblical. The Bible actually says, the good, learn it through experience. But the Bible says, but the bad, learn it through my word. The bad, learn it through my word. That's what Paul said. Why? Because if we learn the bad through experience, chances are we'll come out, and chances are we will not come out. There's a 50-50 chance. And I say that because in this room there are people that by the grace of God we are here. By the grace of God we should not be here. But we're here. And now if I look back, now I would do things differently. And the only thing that is going to allow you to do things differently is when you cast out the wrong that has been living with the right. Somebody say amen. So what the Lord is telling us today is to kick out and leave everything behind, every possession. all those wrongs, you need to tell them, get out. I'm going to cast you out. Oh, and by the way, you're going to leave everything behind. Every valuable, everything that is precious and worth and has worth, you need to leave it behind. Why? Because it's mine. It's my inheritance. So when you and I stop allowing rights and wrongs to dwell together in our lives, and when we cast out the mistakes we have committed, hallelujah, they have to exit and leave all my promises and all my blessings behind, and all my heavenly inheritance that belong to me and to my descendants, hallelujah, from my heavenly Father. See, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. We need to cast out all the wrongs. We need to cast out all the mistakes from our lives. I'm evicting all the things from my life and from my home that are not pleasing to the Lord. And I'm taking back my joy. I'm taking back my peace. I'm taking back my anointing. Hallelujah. I'm taking back my son. I'm taking back my daughters. I'm taking back my job. I'm taking back my salvation. Somebody say amen. I'm telling all those things that are not pleasing to the Lord, I should have cast you out a long time ago, but I'm keeping my inheritance and I'm keeping my promises. Somebody say amen. Today many Christians are panicking because the mistakes are mocking your homes and your marriages. You are panicking because all of your wrongs are laughing at your home and your children. All of your past mistakes are trying to overrun your life. But if you get your act together and you cast out all the wrongs and all the mistakes and the sins that so easily do beset you, then God will provide all, hallelujah, for all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Yes, if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, God is going to give and provide. Hallelujah. Get to the tabernacle. Get to the church. Sit in the place where God will provide you with peace and safety. God's promises abundantly for your successes. Go to the place where God is and where God promises to lift you up, to change you, to transform you. Hallelujah. Go to the place where God is. Hallelujah. And surrender all those things and cast out all of those things that brought you to the place that you are right now. And God says, I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to make something good and something beautiful out of your life because you are my chosen generation. You are my royal priesthood and I have an inheritance, hallelujah, that only belongs to you and to nobody else. Somebody say amen.
Even if your children are out in the world lost, they still belong to you. And there's an inheritance still for them. The prodigal son, even though he went and spent all of his inheritance, did not lose his inheritance. Because when he came back to his father didn't say, stop, you're no longer my son. In fact, the prodigal son came back and said, I'm worth as much as your servants. He came to his father and said, all that I am worth is living with your servants and with your slaves. You know what the dad said? You're crazy. We have the same DNA still. We have the same blood running through our veins. You're stupid and you were a dork. But you're still my son. And you know what he did? He killed the fatted calf and threw a party. You know why he threw a party? We say, oh, because he was happy to see him. No, so that the whole world could see that he was still his son. So that the servants and the slaves wouldn't get any ideas that he was just like them. That's why he did that. So that when he came back, they wouldn't be saying, well, he was eating with the pigs. He did that so that they could see he's still the son of a king. He still has prominence. He still has inheritance. He still has authority. We still have to bow down to him. We still have to serve him. We still have to do whatever he tells us to do. And the Lord says, I want you to see the reason I'm telling you to cast out all those wrongs, and the word that I'm using is garaj. The reason I'm using that word is because I want those things. I want those wrongs. I want those hexes. I want those curses. I want those things that have been buffeting your life that you have allowed. When you cast them out, I want them to understand that nothing belongs to them, that it is all yours, and that you have the power to keep it. You have the power to command them. You have the power to tell them in all authority, hallelujah, you can't come back in here because I am a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and I've got royal blood.
hallelujah, running through my veins. I got his name, hallelujah, engraved in my forehead. I have the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the Lord did that so that those things that you cast out could see who you are. So that they could see the fourth man in the furnace. Somebody say amen. Today, the Lord wants to fully restore your past. But God hasn't shown up because you're still allowing right and wrong to dwell together. You're still allowing mistakes to live with miracles. So it's time to rebuild and restore. It's time to revive and repair. It's time, brothers and sisters, to enlarge our blessings. To put the stakes down and lengthen our cords. It's time.